It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pite is over there running the iPad. Our guest this morning is Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. How are you?
Blessed and so happy to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways now. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it to our text line, 580-485-0837. Or you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items.
Amen. You did it.
I did it. But I only had to take a couple of breaths. My goal is to get it all in one breath.
Wow, that's impressive. That's awesome.
Would you pray to start us out, sister?
I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to just be here today. We thank you for the freedom of it. We thank you for just the blessing, God, that it is to come here and to be able to just freely give your word every day. We thank you for the sacrifice that Neva and Monica have made to do this. And God, we thank you for the provision. And today we come here with just expectation in our hearts, God, that you're ready to move. That you came today to minister. You are using the airwaves today to send out the truth. God, you're sending out the light today. I thank you, Lord, that you are bringing to us revelation of your word. Revelation of the truth. You said the truth sets us free. So right now, Holy Spirit, reveal the truth to us today. We thank you that this is your word, and we come to eat the bread, to take in your word today. It is not only our sustenance, but it is the delight of our soul. And God, we thank you for it. Open every ear, every heart, every mind and eye to receive. Holy Spirit, convince us today of the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 I like your title this morning, How to Pray, Not What to Pray.
Whoa, that's Come it, girl. On. That's good. That's good, okay? The Lord really just changed some things in me concerning prayer and just brought me a revelation. You know, revelations, guys, are those things that when we're you know, in the word or when somebody's ministering or just something quickens in you like this, you go, oh, that makes sense. It's a revelation. The Holy Spirit is bringing revelation. And he brought me a revelation about prayer, and it's changed the way I pray. And I believe it's going to change the way you pray today. I believe a lot of times because we're not praying the way Jesus taught us to pray, sometimes we're not getting what we're asking for. But God intends for you to get what you ask for. He intends that you get everything he wants you to have. And so today we're going to focus on not what to pray, but how to pray. Amen. Or how to pray, not what to pray. Amen. And so let's just get right into the word. John 16:16 is where we're going to start. And this is during the Passover, okay? Jesus and his disciples are eating the Passover meal, and I want to just start right here in this verse. It says, a little while, Jesus says this to his disciples, they're in the upper room eating the Passover meal, and he says, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. So we're seeing a shift here. There's a transition taking place, and so as he's eating with them, he begins to let them know kind of what's coming. And we know that at this point, we're about to move into John 17. And you have to get the picture. They've just finished the Passover meal, and Judas has already left to betray Jesus. And Jesus is talking with his disciples. And then in John 17, he begins his famous prayer, the longest recorded prayer in the Word. And it's not just for them, but it's for us as well. And so he begins the famous prayer. And all this took place during their time celebrating the Passover meal. And so after John 17 closes, this is when Jesus and the disciples get up and go to the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? And this is where his blood begins to be spilled for you and I. And this is when Judas will begin to betray Jesus, right? That's when he'll do the work of betraying Jesus. And then Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's taken to be crucified. But glory to God, Jesus told us that no one would take his life, but he would go willingly. Jesus was already ready to do the will of the Father when they came to get him. And so today we're going to focus in on the prayer, not necessarily his prayer, but he wants to show us some things about prayer. Okay. And so I want us to look at John 16, 16, verse 17. I'm sorry. Let's see here. You know what? I think it's in Matthew. I think I'm going to the wrong place here. No, I'm not. Trust me. Let's go. Give me a second. I want to make sure because I want to make sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's start in 16. We just read that. Let's start in 17. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, he just tells them, I'm about to go. And they said, what is this that he says unto us? A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me. And because I go to the Father. And they said, therefore, what is it that he's saying? A little while. We can't tell what he's saying. Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. And he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of the fact that I said a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Glory to God. A woman, when she's in travail or in labor, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And you now, therefore, have sorrow. But he said, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. And in that day, and here I want to focus in on 23 and 24. And in that day, he's talking about prayer here. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, up to this point, he said, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, we have to ask in order for our joy to be full. And he says, in verse 25, these things I spoke unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray for the Father for you. He's saying, I'm not going to go to the Father and pray for you. He said, I'm telling you, you're going to talk to the Father. He said, you're going to go directly to the Father. Amen. We're going directly to the Father in Jesus' name. And so it says, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. And so he's teaching us about prayer here. He's teaching us there's a shift. There's a shift taking place. He's about to leave, and so he's helping them understand how they're going to begin to pray from this point forward, okay? So he's showing them how to walk this out. Now, that word ask, I want you to see. Go back to 24. It says, 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you, okay? Now, that word ask means this. See, when we think about ask, I think about, you know, Monica, will you go to the store with me later today? Okay. You see, will you do this with me? Will you go here with me? Can I have this? Or, you know, it's this asking mentality. But that word ask there means something more. Okay. The word ask there actually means beg. Okay. It can mean crave. It can mean desire. And the word that we're, it also means require. Okay. See, it means to require. So whatever you require of me in Jesus' name, that shall the Father give to us. Okay. Now I'm going to show you this biblically. Stay with me because it is scriptural, and we're going to see. Okay. Require means this. It means to ask or insist for something upon as by your right or your authority. Okay. So you can, when you are asking, when he tells you to ask for something, he's saying you insist on it because it's your right. He said, you have a right to insist that I give you what I told you I gave you. You see, he said, insist for those things. It's your authority that he's given you. He's given, his name is the authority. See, he gave you the power of attorney. He gave you his name. And so if you're not using it with authority, you see, we'll not get what we ask for. But if we understand the authority that we have in Jesus' name, we understand what he says to us, we can begin to get what we ask for. Amen? But it's a requiring. It means this. It means when you ask for something in this sense, this word, when you require something that is rightfully yours, it means to ask authoritatively, okay? You're asking authoritatively. See, a lot of times I think, Monica, we're asking more with our head hung low, wondering, God, would you give this to me? I don't know if I'm worthy of it. I'm not for sure if you're even hearing me right now. You see, but he said, ask authoritatively. So there has to be an authority when you come into the Father's throne and you begin to talk to him. Now, I'm going to tell you, this goes against, when God started showing me this, Monica, it goes against what I'm comfortable with. I said, well, I don't know. Can I really ask the Father authoritatively? That word demand sounds really weird, and requiring something of God, this feels like I'm stepping into places that's real dangerous. And so I began to speak to the Lord. I said, God, if you're telling me this, I've got to see it scripturally. God, show me where this is in the Word of God. Okay. And listen, the Holy Spirit will show us. Okay. He showed me something. I said, woo, thank you, God. He's bringing the truth to us. So what I want us to do is turn to Luke 11:1. He's showing it immediately. Saints, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is our guide. God isn't holding things from us, hoping, you know, till he thinks we're at a place where he thinks we're ready for it. No. He said, ask me. He said, I want everything to be revealed to you that I've given to be revealed to you. And so I just practice this. Start asking the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you. Holy Spirit, listen, you're my guide in this world, and the Word said that you would lead me into all truth. Now, Holy Spirit, I hear what the Word is saying here, but it goes against what I feel comfortable with. Now, would you reveal it to me? Show it to me. Right now, Holy Spirit, give me the revelation in the Word that backs this up, because I can't move forward if it's not biblical. If it's not in your Word, then how can I move forward? And immediately, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, Luke 11. And so I went there, and we're going to look at that in just a second. But this is what the Lord said to me when I said, Lord, I don't know if I can require anything of you. I don't know if I can demand anything of you. And he said, Tammy, are you going to take your way because it feels better to you? Or are you going to take my way because it's the right way, because it's the truth, because I told you it's the way? I said, well, Lord, of course I'm going to take your way. He said, okay, then trust me and take my way, and I will begin to show you the truth of it. And I said, okay, thank you, Father. That's what I'll do. He said, trust me that I would never tell you to do anything. Jesus said, I will never tell you anything that the Father didn't tell me. The Holy Spirit says, I won't tell you anything that Jesus didn't tell me. You see, they're not going to tell us anything that they haven't already been instructed by the Father. And so, Luke 11:1, the Lord, Jesus actually modeled this. This is where we're getting into the Lord's Prayer. Okay. This is where we get into, we say, when I read this, I used to think that what Jesus was showing us was what to pray, but he's not. He's showing us how to pray. See, the disciples wanted to know how to pray. They said, show us. And so look at Luke 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, Jesus is praying, when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Now catch this. He's saying to them, when you pray, say. Did you catch that? Go on and circle that. He said, say this. He said, I'm showing you how to speak to the Father. He said, I'm showing you how to speak to the Father. This was not so much about what to speak to the Father, because we speak to the Father about many things. This was about how to speak to the Father. Now, I want you to catch how he's speaking to the Father. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door's now shut and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. He said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needs. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receive. And he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Amen. And so he's beginning to teach his disciples how to pray. So I want you to catch how Jesus spoke to the Father. Jesus did not ask the Father for what he desired by asking, will you? He did not say, will you let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Father, would you let your will be done on heaven as it is in earth, or on earth as it is in heaven? He didn't say will. Did you catch that? Not in any of these phrases. We're not going to see that. Not one time did he say, will you do this? Okay? And we're going to see why. We're going to grab a hold of a truth here today. And so what he did, rather he spoke it to the Father as if the Father had already asked him, son, what do you want me to do for you? See, it was as if the Father had already said to Jesus, Jesus, what would you want me to do for you? See, he said, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And he said, go to verse 3, look at that. How did he speak? He said, give us day by day our daily bread. He didn't say, God, Father, would you give us our bread day by day? Will you give us our bread? We need our bread. Will you give it to us? No. He said, Father, give us our bread day by day. He spoke authoritatively. See, this is the asking we're talking about. He did not ask will. He asked authoritatively. Now, listen. Jesus said that we are to ask for things of the Father in Jesus' name. And that word we have already established means to require. Okay? That means to insist upon your rights. Okay? And so it's a demanding word. And it's not that we would ever demand God. I don't like that feeling. It's uneasy. But I want to say it this way. God, Jesus prayed like this and told us that we're to pray this way. So as weird as it feels, I began to pray this way. I began to. It's still a shift, Monica. I still sometimes catch myself saying, Father, will you blah, blah, blah. And I have to stop. I say, no, I'm backing up in Jesus' name. Give me this. Give me that. And we'll go. Trust me. Don't run from me. Okay. Yeah, some of you are like, oh, she's gone too far. I'm out. But trust me, you're going to see it. We're going to get into the word. And you're going to understand this even more. And so, so listen, as weird as it feels, begin to pray this way. He did not say, will. We've established this. So let's look at what I want to say is this. God is so cool. He's been teaching me science, English, history. I mean, it blows my mind. He is the best. He is the best, Neva. I can't really take it. He's teaching me so much. I love him. Okay. But he taught me this. He said, Tammy, this statement, when Jesus was saying this prayer, he was speaking imperative sentences. Okay, so I learned a little bit about English again, okay? You remember when we were in grade school, there was 4 types of sentences, right? There was the declarative, there was the interrogative, there was the, I haven't wrote down here because I'm forgetting, the exclamatory and the imperative, okay? So a statement, we're going to just look at it like this. The statement sentence is the declarative sentence. So we're going to say it like this. I own a cat. Okay. When I say I own a cat, what I mean by that is that I'm making a statement to you. I'm giving you a fact. Okay. The next type of sentence is an interrogative. It's a question. So then I would say, where is my cat? Okay. That's that one. The next one is exclamatory. It's an exclamation. Oh, my cat is so cute. Okay. So there's that. But the imperative is a commanding sentence. It's a commanding sentence. And it's to say, feed my cat. Okay. So when I speak to someone, I say, feed my cat. Okay. I tell my son, go feed my cat. All right. So he goes and feeds my cat. That is an imperative sentence. It's the commanding type of sentence. And this is what Jesus spoke in. He spoke commanding sentences to the Father. He prayed authoritatively. See, when you command something, I told Monica we could put this as the title. We are commanders. See, in Christ, you and I are commanders. We've been given authority in Jesus' name. We are to command some things, right? Amen. And when we pray, we ask authoritatively. Now, when I'm sitting at the table with my family and I say to my husband, honey, hand me the salt and pepper. That's a commanding sentence. That's not rude. There's nothing rude with saying, honey, hand me the salt and pepper. You see, sometimes we think it's rude to say, Father, give me this bread today. No, it's not rude. He already said it's yours. You see, you're just asking for what is yours. You're not asking him for things that are outside of your realm. You're not asking him for things that are outside of your sphere, what he said you could have. It's like this. The Father said to me, Tammy, I've already said to my children, what do you want from me? And he said, my children are coming and constantly asking me, will you do this? Will you do that? And he said, I already said I would. Now, why are you asking me if I would? I said, ask me. Ask me imperatively. He said, ask me. Ask me with authority. Okay? So he's saying we're to require it because we have the right to. Okay? It's not with the wrong heart. I'm just full of thanksgiving when I say, give me my bread. You said it, Father. You said, listen to me. He said he'd supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Did it not? Yeah. He said it. He cannot lie. So he said, I'll supply all your needs. Can you get that? All your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's already told us that. So then when I go to him and I say, Father, I've got this situation and I need this bill paid. Will you help me pay it? He says, my child, I already told you, I supply all your needs. Did I not? Yeah. So when I come to him and I say, Father, you said according to your word that you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I got this bill. Father, give me the funds right now that is needed to pay this. Thank you for it. Father, I need $325, so thank you. Father, give me $325 in Jesus' name. You see, I came and I spoke authoritatively. Now, why does this matter? Well, we're going to see in just a second. Does it really matter? Well, yes, it does. Because if we're not asking authoritatively, we're going to find we don't get things that we wanted. Okay? And we're going to see why in a minute. Go on down. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, will you give us this day our bread? Look at verse 4. He said, forgive us of our sins. He didn't say, Father, will you forgive us of our sins? No. He said, forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. He said, and lead us not into temptation. He didn't say, please don't lead us into temptation. Mm-hmm. Please, will you not lead us into temptation? No, he said, lead us not into temptation. And he said, deliver us from evil. Okay? This is how he talked to the Father. This is how Jesus talked. And he is our example. Okay? When you start looking at scripture, you'll see the same thing. The disciples spoke the same way. They spoke to the Father in an authoritative way. It's not a disrespectful way. It's an authoritative way because we've been given the authority in Jesus' name. Do you know that you're covered in the blood of Jesus? And when you go to the throne room, when you go to the Father, it's as if Jesus himself is asking the Father for that very thing. See, he sees Jesus, Monica. He sees him. So if I go in there and all of a sudden I'm like, well, will you do this for me? He said, this is weird because this is not how Jesus has spoke to me. This is not how Jesus talked to the Father. You see, Jesus talked because he knew the Father loved him. He knew the Father would give him whatever he asked for. You see, there is, we have a right to go in. Jesus has made a way for us to go into the Father and to ask with authority. Amen. And so look at verse 8. He begins to talk about this story of this friend. And did you notice in verse 5, let me just back that up. Did you notice in verse 5 when he went to talk to his friend at midnight, he didn't say, friend, will you give me 3 loaves? No. He said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Okay, he said it the same way he just told them to pray. He said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. He said, for a friend of mine is on his journey. He's come to me and I don't have anything to set before him. And the man inside said, don't trouble me. The door's shut. My children are in bed. I can't get up and give you what you want. And he said, though he will not rise and give you because you're his friend, yet because of your importunity, that man is going to get up and give you what you need. He's teaching us something here. He's followed it right after how they said, teach us to pray. He's showing them how, not what. Okay, he's showing them how. He's telling them again. He's reiterating it here again. He's showing them again. He said, come on. He said, you're going to have to ask importunate. I don't even know how to use that word. It's not even a word we use on a regular basis. I've never used the word importunity, okay? But you've got to ask with importunity. So then we say, okay, well, what is that word, importunity? Well, the Greek definition is impudently. Now, then I got to go, well, what in the world is impudently, okay? Like, I don't know anything about these words, okay? So I went and looked up the word impudence. And you know what it means to ask someone impudently? It means to ask them with contempt, okay? The word contempt. It also means to be cocky. It means to ask with cockiness. I said, what? Okay. It also means to ask boldly, okay? That's probably the word I use more because it makes my flesh feel a little better, okay?
Oh, come on. Come on.
It's just helping my flesh feel better, okay? Like, maybe I'll just be bold instead of cocky. But the word means to be cocky. It means to lack modesty. Man, we think, does God really, is he okay with this? No, no, no. He said, this is how we're to ask. Jesus said, go and ask God shamelessly. That word means shamelessly. It said, don't ask God shamelessly, okay? It also means to be rude. This is really weird, okay? I know it feels weird, but it means to be rude, okay? Now, why? It doesn't mean to actually be rude. It means that in that time of history, it was rude to go into a king and demand something. You see, you didn't do that because you could really die. He could pretty much say, off with his head. That's what the king had the authority to do. But Jesus was showing them something. See, they were terrified to go before God as Father. They said, I don't understand this. This is not normal. Like, he's the King of Kings. I mean, he is the top. You can't just go and talk to him that way, Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm about to show you something. The Father loves you. He said, come in as the children of the Father. He said, stop begging like someone who doesn't know if you could get anything, that you might say the wrong thing and that he's going to chop your head off if you don't watch it. You see, stop thinking of the Father this way. He said he loves you. And he said, because you love me, the Father loves you. Go in shamelessly to the throne of God and ask him for what you want. Ask him authoritatively. Ask him with imperative sentences. Go in with a commanding insistence upon God's word. You see, I'm insisting upon God's word. What God said I could have, I'm insisting he give it to me in Jesus' name. Listen to me. Do your children not come and ask you shamelessly for things?
Okay. Especially when we're in the DG.
Yeah, that's right. We're in the DG and they are getting real insistent upon what they want and they don't have no shame. They're like, Mama, I want this. They run it. Mama, I want this. They don't say, Mama, could I have this? Now, if you raised your kids with respect, they probably did, you know. But a lot of times our kids run around, they go, Mama, I want this right here. This is what I'm wanting right now. God, I want it, Mama. And then when we say, you ain't getting that, please, Mama, I said I want it. And they won't stop. You know, they start whining, pitching a fit. They say, I want this. I mean, my granddaughter, she'll start screaming and bawling. And guess what? Mama gives it to her. Okay, you see, it's the same picture. And I'm not saying we need to be spoiled rotten children. I'm saying Jesus is teaching us a principle here. He's shifting a mindset in these disciples. They had never understood this, saints. They had always been afraid to approach God. But there was a new day. Jesus was bringing in a new covenant. And he said, oh, don't you know the Father loves you? You can run to his throne like little children and you could say, Father, I want this. And this is what I came to get. And you see, he gives it to us in Jesus' name. And so, and we'll take a minute to pray in just a minute, but I want to just finish this part up here. Sorry, I'm chewing my gum.
That's okay.
I start breaking apart. Go ahead.
In my translation, I have the NIV.
Okay.
And it says in verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need.
Wow. Your shameless audacity. Wow. That is awesome. And that's exactly what it is. It's like people would stand back and go, how dare you? How would you have such audacity to go to the Father like that? That's how it feels. Mm-hmm. Boy, it even feels like that to me. And I said, no, the Father said, run, Tammy, run, yeah. run, run, run. He said, I've already gave you the open-ended question, daughter, what can I do for you? See, you don't have to run and beg and plead anymore. All you got to do is ask me. Tell me what you want. Begin to imperatively talk to me. Shamelessly ask me for what you want. Begin to declare what it is that you want. And so that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, sister. And so it means to be improperly forward and bold. And so the word actually derives itself from the words without shame, okay? Improperly forward or bold. It means to, it's not, think of it like this. It's not good manners to show up at your neighbor's house at midnight to get something for someone else. You know, that neighbor is like, how dare you have the audacity to show up at my house at midnight for a loaf of bread? Like, are you kidding me? Your friends can wait till the morning. You see what I'm saying? They don't got to eat at midnight. They can wait. Give them some crackers and send them to bed. You see, the audacity of someone to show up at your house at this time of day and then expect you to give them something is crazy. You're waking up my entire family. You see, but that's how Jesus said to go to the Father. Woo-wee, I love it. Boy, I'm getting more bold and more bold when I go to the Father's throne. I ain't messing around. I say, oh, thank you, Daddy, you love me. And I came to get some things. I came to bother you for a while. I came to call on you till you gave me what I wanted. Amen? You see, he's telling us to do this. And so they could have said, drink some milk and go back to bed till I get up in the morning. But the Father wants us to come and bother him. He wants us to be bold and shameless when we come to him. And so Matthew 14, and it's probably about time to take a break. Let me see. Matthew 14. I want to just share this real quick, and then we'll take a break. Matthew 14, 6 through 8. It's the same picture. I just want to show you the same word ask is here, okay? So, when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and it pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. It's the same word, ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head in a charger. See, here she is standing before Herod the king. And what did she do? People, she boldly, shamelessly said, give me this. Why did not she say, will you give me John the Baptist's head? Why? She didn't ask that because he had already promised her with an oath to give her whatever she would ask. Can I tell you that God has already given you promises? Come on. He's already given you an oath. And Herod might be one who would break his oath, but God doesn't break his oath. If he already said it, you better know you don't have to ask will. He's already given you that open-ended question. He's already promised you with an oath to give you whatever you ask. Did he not? That's what Jesus just said. Glory to God. Jesus just told us in the last passage that whatsoever you ask in my name, God will do it. That's what he said. It's the same principle. So that's why she didn't walk in there and say, will you do this for me? He said, well, of course I will. I already told you. I gave you my promise. God already gave us his promise. Amen. So, saints, I want to encourage you to begin to ask authoritatively of what you want. Get rid of the word will. Find out what God says in his word and then go with that authoritative asking. Father, you said this. Now give it to me. Father, you said this, now I came to get it. You see, there's a difference in that. So, amen.